It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I got to talk ADHD for a minute,
All
if
right.
you don't mind.
Sure, please.
You brought up an interesting study. This was like over a year ago. You said to me, I read something, Psychology Today had this article, Why French Kids Don't Have ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out FDA regulations are different in Europe than they are here.
Right.
The reason I find this interesting is, first, my 15-year-old son was diagnosed with ADHD, and we got him tested at a psychologist. It wasn't just like the pediatrician saying, here, take these.
Right.
And then my 12-year-old son was diagnosed with ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And as what happens frequently in a family of ADHDers, usually when the kids are diagnosed, the mom and or the dad usually go, this reminds me of how my childhood years were. And maybe I have it. So I have been diagnosed with ADHD. I don't find it to be a bad thing, but I find it to be a different thing. You do things differently.
Right.
I am very able to act in an immediate fashion when I have to get something done. I have to wait until the absolute deadliest of the deadlines before I can put myself into action.
Is that common with ADHD?
Yes.
It is common.
It's almost
that.
Like you need a spark to get you going, or you just don't know where to start. Numerous times I have mentioned my dining room table that is a bit cluttered, and I am overwhelmed by things that would probably, as my husband points out, take only an hour, but I have this vision that, oh my God, this is going to be the worst thing ever. So my problem is actually starting something.
Oh.
Once I start it, I can do it. And then it's weird because ADHD, attention deficit, there are certain people who absolutely hyper-focus on things. And then you seem to question it. Wait, I thought it was attention deficit. But the things...
Not surplus.
It is surplus,
it
though.
It is.
Because
right.
on certain things that you really love, you hyper-focus on. I have a
is
kid...
Is it just love or is it... It's extreme, isn't it? It's things you really love or you really despise that you really focus on, right?
I think it's the things you love. I can only think of examples. My older son, when he was a baby, not a baby, a toddler, he fell in love with Egypt.
Yeah.
So for a while, everything was Egypt.
Yeah.
Egypt this, Egypt that. And then now that he's older, he's 15 years old, he's into guitars. And he is obsessed with guitars. Whenever we go to a concert, he will tell me what kind of guitar that is. That's a sitar. That's a Dan Electric 12-string guitar. He is obsessed with guitars. He hyper-focuses on that.
I thought at the time, and it is, we're going back a year that I saw this study and I brought it to your attention. I think it's strange that in the United States is the numbers of people who are diagnosed with ADHD keep going up and up and up. You go to Europe, especially France, which they focused on in the study, and the numbers are almost non-existent. So I couldn't figure out what that would be. They say there's a correlation in the study anyway to additives in foods, to coloring in foods, where the FDA approves different things here as opposed to over there. So there's got to be some kind of a tie-in.
Well, I find that fascinating. I also find it fascinating that some people say ADHD doesn't really... exist. Yes, you say that until you have it or your kids have it. And yes, I also believe that medication is overprescribed and I think sometimes needlessly.
Yeah.
I think there are certain kids that do the things I've mentioned that don't have ADHD. But when it continues, I think the thing is for 6 months at a time when it's chronic issues, that there's definitely ADHD. And Bill, you brought up this article a while ago, and we have the woman who actually published an online article in Psychology Today entitled Why French Kids Don't Have ADHD, and got a lot of response. This is Dr. Marilyn Wedge, practicing family therapist, a PhD in social psychology, and she's written a book, A Disease Called Childhood, Why ADHD Became an American Epidemic. Hi, Marilyn.
Oh, hi, Wendy. Hi, Dale.
Nice to finally talk to you. We've been, Wendy and I have been discussing this off air for a year, so here you are. If you wouldn't mind, Dr. Wedge, address one of the things Wendy just said. There are people who say they're doubters that the syndrome, that this disease even exists. It's definitely there, isn't it?
Well, that's a tricky question. I don't really think there's a mental disorder called ADHD that exists, no.
But see, my blood is boiling. I got to be honest with you.
I know.
I mean, it really is right now.
I'm sorry.
But you don't think...
Let me qualify. There are some children who have... I do believe that there are either true biological causes of hyperactivity and inattentiveness, and there are true sociological or psychosocial causes. The biological causes are head injury. A child can become hyperactive, inattentive, if they fall on their head and something is actually physically disturbed in their brain. A child can become hyperactive from disease like meningitis or encephalitis, or epilepsy can also cause hyperactivity and inattentiveness in children. So yes, those are true biological diseases that cause the symptoms that we think of as ADHD. On the other hand, there are extreme stressors that can cause the symptoms, like a chaotic home life or child abuse or earthquakes, war. Those kinds of things can get into a child's psyche and cause behaviors that we see as ADHD. But I don't...
So you think ADHD is just behavioral and not chemical in any way, shape, or form?
Well, it can become what neuroscience has taught us is that experience can shape and rewire the brain. So in that sense, if a child suffers extreme trauma, or even his parents getting divorced, which is a trauma for a child, his brain can become rewired, and it becomes biological in that sense. But I don't think the treatment should be biological. I think the treatment should be to explore the trauma and treat the trauma.
I got no trauma. My kids have no trauma. They've done neurofeedback. They've done brain training called CogMed. They are both on stimulant medications, as am I. And it makes a huge difference when your kid in second grade comes home and you try a stimulant, which is goes into effect right away. It doesn't have to titrate or build up in the body. And you have a second grade kid who says to you, "Oh my God, this is the first time I felt like one of the rest of the kids." Then you know you've made the right decision.
I wouldn't argue with you there. I truly wouldn't. Every parent has to make that decision. And there's no doubt that stimulants help. I mean, that's why 50% of college students are using stimulants to help them concentrate better on tests. Stimulants do help, but there are also other ways of helping. It sounds like you've been through many of those other ways.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried. I have not turned to the diet, which is why we would love to talk to you about this, as Bill brought this up a year ago.
Sure.
Seriously, why is ADHD not happening so much in Europe and so much in America?
Well, Europe has a tradition of protecting children from unwholesome foods. So just quickly, in the 1970s, an American pediatric allergist named Benjamin Feinberg discovered that 40 to 50% of children became less hyperactive if they were given no artificial food colorings or preservatives. Those artificial food colorings and preservatives were, in his opinion, causing their hyperactivity. When he changed their diet, they became calmer and focused. Well, the AMA didn't look with great approval on Feingold because he didn't use controlled studies. It was mostly case studies. However, in Europe, there was a study called the Southampton Study, which replicated Feingold's findings. The European Food Authority, the British Food Standards Agency, immediately took action and told food companies in Europe that they would have to label artificial food colorings may cause hyperactivity in children. the food industry said, okay, we're not going to label, but we're going to change it. So tell me, if you buy a bag of M&Ms in Chicago and you buy a bag of M&Ms in Paris, you think there's any difference in the ingredients?
I wouldn't think so.
You wouldn't think so, no.
No, you wouldn't think so, but yes, there is a difference. In Europe, the colorings on the M&Ms are made with natural foods, beets, carrots, saffron, radishes. In the United States, the food colorings are from artificial food dyes because our own Food and Drug Administration did not interpret that Southampton study in the same way. They did not feel that they should tell food companies to label their products that artificial food colorings cause hyperactivity. So American children are left to have these products, which in Europe are considered not acceptable for children.
How do we make this stop?
Well, I think parent by parent. Actually, consumer groups, there's one consumer group that's been very active, and just a few weeks ago, Nestle Food Company made an announcement that they would stop using artificial food colorings in the products they made for the United States. So that was a huge concession by the industry. And I think consumer groups are big, and if you feel that maybe your child is being affected, becoming more hyperactive from his diet, it would be good to work with a nutritionist to try to cut out these dyes and preservatives to see if it makes any difference in your child.
Why, Dr. Wedge, I'm curious about this. I grew up eating a lot of candy. I really did.
And you still eat a lot of candy.
I still eat a lot of candy.
Sure,
but I didn't experience any kind of hyperactivity or any of the symptoms that we've talked about. Why would it manifest itself so much more in certain people than others?
I'm not really sure about that. I think it's kind of like an allergy. Not everyone is. I'm allergic to strawberries, but not everyone is allergic to strawberries.
Yeah.
So it's just it's like an allergy. That's how Feingold envisioned it.
And definitely, there are some things that contribute and exacerbate ADHD behaviors. I do have a couple people in the neighborhood who, you know, it's everyone's scared to talk about everything going on in their house. No one wants to talk about medicating their kid. I would never do anything to harm my children. I do what's best for them. But I also listen to doctors and psychologists that I trust. And there are two people I'm thinking of in the neighborhood who tried all the pure diets and taking out all the preservatives and only eating whole, regular, wonderful foods. And their kids are now taking medication as well because that didn't help. So I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on whether or not ADHD really exists. But I do agree that definitely some artificial ingredients can definitely affect it.
I'm happy to agree to disagree. And there are, of course, other factors. Being the youngest child in your classroom gives you a 49% more chance of being diagnosed with ADHD.
Why is that?
Well, you know, consider a child at the age of 5 and a child at the age of 6. 1 year in a child's life of that age is like one-fifth of the child's life. And so younger children have a harder time keeping up, both socially and academically, with children who are a year or a year and a half older. So there were several studies showing that it was best to not put a child into school right after their 5th birthday, but to wait and give them a little more time to develop and mature so that they can shine in their class.
Dr. Wedge, I'm also going to make a suggestion that could either be very, very complex or very, very simplistic. I'm not sure which, but I'll throw it your way anyway. What about just the mere fact that boys tend to be more hyperactive than girls?
Boys tend to be more energetic than girls. I mean, boys are just, it may be the hormones or testosterone, but boys are more active and they have more of a problem sitting still and not fidgeting for hours at a time. So, of course, boys are diagnosed at a much higher rate than girls with ADHD.
And ADHD presents itself a little differently in girls as well because of that difference. Because girls tend to drift off and not pay attention. I was more like a boy, actually, when I think about my school years. But, you know, boys, in my opinion, are treated differently at school anyway because of that physical activity. Girls can be talking amongst themselves, and the teacher comes up very nicely. Girls, come on, quiet down. Boys, it's like, all right, let's separate you two.
Mm-hmm.
So very much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some interesting stuff here, and if you know, there are believers and non-believers in ADHD. A Disease Called Childhood is the name of the book, Why ADHD Became an American Epidemic. Marilyn Wedge on the line with us, practicing family therapist, a PhD in social psychology. And I'm definitely interested to give this a read, and whether you have ADHD or not, some interesting things may be gleaned for me from this book. So we appreciate talking to you, Dr. Wedge.
Oh, my pleasure, Wendy and Bill. My pleasure being here.
Thanks so much.
Your website, if somebody wants to,
how
do we reach you on your website?
MarilynWedgePhD.com.
Perfect. Thanks,
Thank
Dr.
You.
Wedge. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.